Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contribution. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout Holy Week, there's always two perspectives that the readings give us. First is God's perspective. Start to see exactly what the whole purpose of it is. It's important for us, if we're going to see what's happening aright, to look at it from God's perspective. And then the second is how we're supposed to respond to what God's seeking to do. And in this Holy Week, God speaks in the Old Testament prophecies of the suffering servant songs of Isaiah. Today we get Isaiah 42. Tomorrow we'll get 49. On Wednesday we'll get 50. And then on Good Friday we'll get the greatest of them all, 52 and 53. But God speaks about what he had been planning from the time of sin, or from before the foundation of the world, if you want to believe St. Paul in the Ephesians, that he was going to do out of love for us. And in the gospel, we're getting the responses. So let's see what God wants us to hear this Monday of Holy Week. We see two different anointings and the way these two were supposed to go together. First, the anointing by God. Through the prophet Isaiah, talking about Jesus, the suffering servant, God the Father says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I'm well pleased." We'll hear those words at his baptism, right? "Among whom I have put my spirit," earlier in Isaiah, about Jesus and about us in Jesus, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, etc., all the gifts of the Holy Spirit." The Spirit was put upon Jesus to bring forth justice to the nations, to help everybody get back into a right relationship with God. And let's not dismiss that word nations. It wasn't just to the Jews. And it describes how he's going to do this. "Not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes this justice on the earth." We know that if occasionally Jesus did scream, he screamed in castigation of the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, calling them whitewashed tombs. He broke some money changers' tables in the temple. But during this week, when he could have cried out against all of our hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of all the nations, where he could have easily broken the stipes and the patibulum of the cross, if Jesus were a professional wrestler instead of a savior, he didn't. He didn't cry out, except, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't shout. He didn't break even a frail reed in order to establish this justice. This justice would be established through his humility, embracing our sufferings on the cross. That's why God the Father says that he was going to place on him his spirit to strengthen him precisely to do this. And God was going to accompany him that way. I have grasped you by the hand. Jesus isn't doing anything of what he's doing this week alone. I formed you, and very importantly, set you as a covenant of the people, as a light for the nations. Jesus didn't come to establish a covenant as if it were something outside of him. Jesus is the new and eternal covenant. He is that bond between God the Father and us. He was set and formed as this covenant, as a light for the nations, so that everyone, and not just the Jews, would be able to say, as we prayed in the psalm today, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He would open the eyes of the blind so that we could see that light and walk in it. And he's going to do that this week. He's going to bring out prisoners from confinement. That's what we will ponder deeply on Holy Saturday. From the dungeon, those who live in darkness, so that they might walk in light, the dungeon of that sinfulness. It's a self-imposed dungeon. Jesus is blowing open the doors, but he's going to need us, like in Plato's famous allegory, to leave the shadows of the cave behind and walk into the sunshine. So now let's turn to our anointing, our response. We see that in the beautiful gospel scene, which frames for us the lavish love with which we're supposed to respond this week to the Lord's lavish love. Jesus went again to the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. It was different this time. Lazarus was famous. Jesus probably stayed there in Martha, Mary, and Lazarus' house every time he came to the Passover. Bethany was one of those places in which, where there was no room for the 2 million people who would come to Jerusalem to stay in the holy city. Bethany was one of the places people could stay, and it was probably a little easier for Jesus, and that's probably where he got to know them so well. But there they were. There was dinner. Martha was still serving. And Mary was looking for an excuse. No. She had always gotten it right. Martha was loving the Lord by all her service, but Mary was loving him in a way even more pleasing to the Lord. We'll get to one of the ways a little later. But here she comes with a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic spikenard. Now that's a sentence we've heard so many times, and I guarantee if a first grader asked you, what does that mean? Most of us would make up a plausible fabrication. Where do we get spikenard? It's from a tiny little herb. Think about a little piece of basil, for example. And you've got to crush it, and out of it you get a minuscule portion of this oil that's very fragrant. In order to get a liter of this, acres of these herbs have to be grown, and then unbelievable amount of work to crush them all in order to get that oil. That's why for the liter it would have cost 300 days wages. That's a full year's worth of work. You'd have the Sabbath off. A whole year's worth of work went into this bottle, and Mary was going to waste it all. Not even on the Lord's head, which is where people were normally anointed, but out of humility at his feet. And Judas, as Archbishop Sheen used to say, who knew the price of everything and the value of nothing, Judas was the first one to exclaim, this could have been sold and given to the poor. He was going to value Jesus less than 30 pieces of silver. And 300 days' wages was about three times that. 30 pieces of silver are 90 days' wages. So this was three times worth more than he valued Jesus, and it was all being wasted. Wasted, according to his mentality, on Jesus' feet, because unfortunately he never really loved the Lord enough. And Jesus defended her, and he gave us a very important principle for this week. Leave her alone, let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Why do we always have the poor? So that we always have the opportunity to become the Good Samaritan and sacrifice ourselves for the poor. St. Gregory the Great used to say the reason why the Lord gave us disparate talents, that he gave us divergent resources, is so that others would be in need of what we have and we would be in need of what others have, so that we would be able to love each other by that type of sharing of ourselves and what the Lord has given. So that we are always going to have the poor, because it's an opportunity for us to become poor in spirit and truly charitable like the Lord, who was rich, but in his richness emptied himself so that we can be enriched by his poverty. It's the first aspect of why we always have the poor. But the second and far more important principle here is Jesus says, you'll always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. A lot of times we can take the Lord for granted. He really is always there. He promised to be with us always until the end of time. And therefore we can get our priorities mixed up sometimes. Well, I've got all of these other things to do. I'll get to my prayer later. I'll get to that act of charity later. I'll procrastinate on the stuff that's most important. Jesus wants us, especially this week, not to take him and his presence at all for granted. You know, when I was in parish work, one of the things that always surprised me is the people who couldn't come on Holy Thursday, couldn't even come on Good Friday, because they were expecting guests on Easter. Beautiful. I was thrilled that they were having guests. But there was something far more important. Likewise for us in the priesthood and religious life, this is a week in which so many little tasks have to be done that often we can miss the main point. So the Lord's asking us today to respond to the anointing with which he was anointed in order to come and set justice in our hearts so that he might be able to fill us with his light and save us from captivity. Our response has to be an anointing like Mary of Bethany's. And what's that anointing that Jesus would like from us? The first part of that anointing I'd call receptive prayer. Mary showed us in Luke 11 that other famous scene in his house, that she grasped what Martha didn't. Both of them were trying to love the Lord in their individual ways and temperaments, but it was only Mary who recognized Jesus had come to their house not to be fed but to feed. And it was Mary who sat at his feet for that 7-course Italian meal. Martha hadn't grasped that part adequately. Mary did. We can learn from Mary how really to please the Lord by just opening ourselves up, giving him the time so that he can do what he suffered this week so much to do, really to make us very holy, to make us so much more like his mother. To make that extra time, even while we're working, to pray that work with open ears. And then the second way we anoint Jesus' feet. First way is to sit at his feet and receive what he wants to give. The second is to follow his footsteps. St. Peter tells us in his first letter, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his paths. Jesus would say during the Last Supper, where I am, so will my servant be. And Jesus is on the move this week. And with that receptivity, he wants us following in that path of overflowing self-giving love, because the same Spirit sent by the Father to anoint him to establish justice, Jesus and the Father sent to us so that we could complete that work, not just in us, but in the world. That's why Jesus, who is the light and the salvation of the human race, has called us a light and sent us out to bring the message of that salvation and bring the means. The greatest way all of this takes place is here at Mass, when we enter into the covenant, who is Jesus, where we open ourselves up to receive what he wishes to do with a receptivity like Mary, and we're strengthened from the inside to follow his footsteps throughout this day, even if we're placing our feet where we see drops of blood. The Lord Jesus is saying, don't be afraid, follow me this path. He who is our light and our salvation this week wants to set us free and help us to walk always as children of the light. Let us ask his grace to do it and to lavishly love him who here and always lavishly loves us. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.